Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is a wonderful call-in gardening show. I love helping people with their gardens. I'm a landscape designer, horticulturist, consultant, and we have plenty of time today for you to call in with your gardening questions. But right now, it's time for the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is diapause. D-I-A-P-A-U-S, as in Sam E. Diapause is a state of suspended development that allows mosquitoes to survive in unfavorable environmental conditions, particularly during winter or dry seasons. Diapause is a physiological state characterized by low metabolic activity. It is a survival strategy that many insects, including mosquitoes, use to endure harsh environmental conditions. During diapause, mosquitoes exhibit reduced processes, such as decreased reproductive activity and increased resistance to extreme temperatures. Mosquitoes typically enter diapause in response to environmental cues such as shortening day length. As autumn approaches and days become shorter, mosquitoes prepare for diapause by slowing their metabolism and storing energy reserves. There's temperature changes. Cooler temperatures signal the onset of winter, prompting mosquitoes to enter this dormant state. Then there's also obligatory diapause. Some mosquito species automatically enter diapause at a specific developmental stage, regardless of the environmental conditions. And then there's facultative diapause. Most mosquito species can enter diapause based on external cues, such as changes in daylight and temperature, allowing them to adapt to varying conditions. Then there's population dynamics. Diapause plays a crucial role in the seasonal population dynamics of mosquitoes. It allows them to survive periods when food and water are scarce, ensuring they can emerge and reproduce when conditions improve. In summary, the mosquito diapause is a critical adaptation that enables these insects to survive adverse conditions. Drats. So, Lizzie, diapause, we are still going to have mosquitoes, and I am so glad that we're having Heather Stickney. She's going to be on in a few minutes, and she's going to tell us what's going to happen this year. Are we going to get mosquitoes?
Hopefully she'll have us good news for us.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
If not, it sounds like she may have a solution to help us with.
That is so true. So we're going to be talking to her. It'll be good to have her back on. She is in Ohio, and the weather is still a little cool there. Mm-hmm. But it's warming up. Spring is happening up north, too, as well, and all the temperatures. You'd like to get our newsletter, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. You can go to my website, which is www.she-consulting.com. Also, too, our first two garden tours are sold out, the Revolutionary Garden Tour, and our Best of English Gardens, and also the Chelsea Flower Show is sold out. But we have so many more nice, wonderful, exciting garden tours. The Newport Flower Show, the Garden Walk Buffalo in New York. Do you know we have a really good listening audience in Buffalo, New York?
I love this.
Yeah. And so good morning to everyone up in Buffalo. And so we're going to visit them in July for their huge event and also go over to Canada, to the Niagara Falls side, and experience the gardens over in Canada. And then we are going to France, the Artiste Gardens of France, and that's going to be lovely. Brandywine Valley, which is our palatial Gilded Age mansions along the Brandywine Valley in Philadelphia. Just a wonderful time of the year to go. And also visiting our friend Jenny Rose Carey at Northview Gardens. And we are going to have visitors, historic visitors on the trip. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Like, Frederick Lloyd Olmsted.
Nice.
And he is the famous architect who designed all of these wonderful parks in the United States. And then we have a fun celebration of gardens in New Orleans right during the Halloween season. So it's going to be a wonderful, the Ethereal Gardens of New Orleans. So yes. If you'd like more information, just check it out, artandbloomgardentours.com, and let me know. We'd love to travel with you, Tony and I. We have such fun, organizing these tours and going to the places that I love to go to and enjoy, and I know you will too. So we are going to be taking your gardening questions. What can you be planting as far as herbs go right now? Anise and basil, bay laurel and borage, cardamom and chervil, chives and coriander, costimary and dill, fennel. Dill and fennel are wonderful for butterfly gardens. Ginger and lemon balm, sweet marjoram, Mexican tarragon, mint in pots, please, mint in pots, oregano, rosemary, sage, thyme, and watercress. So Harold asked about using a pre-emergent, and I have to say the time for using it is over. We apply pre-emergents in late January, early February, when it's still cool, so that as it starts to warm up, and with 5 days of warm temperature, the weeds are starting to, emerge. And so times for pre-emergent is over. Just be wasting your time on it. Also, I have a really big request for landscape maintenance companies and for homeowners. Do not edge your garden beds with weed killer, herbicides. That is such a bad way to edge. It affects the shrubs, it affects the trees, and affects your turf. It is not a good way to edge. We have electric edgers, and you've got the edging, the hand spade that can do that, but edging with weed killers will damage your plants on your property. Also, it's time to check for chinch bugs. We have them year-round, practically. I think they're a little bit going dormant with the winter. But you can check for chinch bugs by using a handheld vacuum cleaner. Just go around an area that seems dead and empty the filter trap on white paper to find any live chinch bugs. If you have more than 15 to 20 chinch bugs, you need to put down a pesticide. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. As National Sales Manager at Summit Chemical Company, Heather Stickney brings more than 25 years of experience in the lawn and garden industry, specializing in effective pest management for all her solutions for customers. As soon as spring arrives in Perrysburg, Ohio, I know Heather loves to plant her container garden and to enjoy it through the summertime. So she humorously refers to herself as not possessing a green thumb, but I think she probably does a great job. Good morning, Heather. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I am great. Perrysburg, Ohio. It seems a little warm there. What's going on right now?
Well, so right now the sun is out, and they're telling us we're going to be up into the 70s today. We might hit 70 degrees. So
wow.
A change from the winter weather, yes. Unfortunately, it looks like we're going to get some rain a little later, but uh-huh. I'll take it. I'm not going to complain.
No, send it down here to Florida, and I know it's coming down here, so we're expecting it next weekend, so that's glad. So, Heather, we just had the worst winter in 12 years, breaking century-old temperature records. Will there be any relief to Florida so that we don't have mosquitoes?
I wish it were that easy. Unfortunately, not. You typically stay above 50 degrees. In Florida, and so mosquitoes are really able to breed and feed all year long, and so it's very unlikely that you will completely have them eliminated for this season.
Oh my gosh. So Heather, we have millions of new Floridians who were stunned by the winter temperatures, and I think that they just think winter took care of all those pests. But where do mosquitoes go in wintertime then? Where do they hide?
They like to hide in things like tree bark, leaf litter, logs in barns and sheds. You might even find them inside your homes. So they definitely look for shelter when things get cold. And they're around.
And
they're
so, around. They have yeah, and so they can last the 2 to 3 days hiding. And then when it warms up, they go back to their old ways.
Correct. That is correct.
Okay, so when should we start preparing for mosquitoes? When should we start seeing them?
really now is the time. In Central Florida, March is when you will start to see mosquitoes, and now's the time to get ready for them.
So we lost a lot of bromeliads, and you know, people think that they're, you know, kind of havens for mosquitoes, which they can be. What can homeowners do for their bromeliads to prevent mosquitoes from breeding in them?
Well, so mosquitoes look for water. The female mosquitoes look for water to lay their eggs, and that cup shape in the bromeliad will collect enough water for a mosquito to be able to deposit her eggs. The best way to eliminate the larvae that result from that is to use something like Summit's mosquito bits. Sprinkle those over the bromeliads, the land in the standing water in the plant, and the BTI in that product will do its job to kill the mosquito larvae that develop.
So tell us about BTI. And so what is the benefits of BTI?
BTI is a soil-borne bacterium. So it is a biological control, and it is a bacterium that is really only toxic to mosquito larvae and fungus gnat larvae. It's virtually harmless to anything else. So you can use it in a bird bath. It won't harm the birds or any wildlife that may come to drink out of the bird bath. You can use it in animal watering troughs. It's a very effective control for mosquito larvae and for fungus gnat larvae, but again, non-toxic to other species.
That is fabulous. It is a really great product. So how long does mosquito bits or mosquito dunks, how long do they last in the water?
They're formulated a little bit differently. So mosquito bits are formulated to release the active ingredient, BTI, very quickly. Because of that, we recommend reapplication every 7 to 14 days. Mosquito dunks are formulated to float on the water surface. So if you have, again, a bird bath or an ornamental pond, you can float that dunk. It will control mosquito larvae for 30 days or more. It releases product or its bacterium over time. So 7 to 14 days for bits, every 30 days for dunks.
That is great. I mean, it works fabulously. So what other Summit Responsible Solution products do you recommend for outdoors? Because does this mean we're going to still have more outdoor insects?
Unfortunately, yes, you will. And I know you've had a lot of frost damage because of the brutal cold temperatures in Florida. That makes plants very susceptible to soft-bodied insects, things like aphids, spider mites, soft-bodied insects that might attack the plant because they're in the process of recovery.
Right.
We recommend something like our year-round spray oil to help control those pests and even some fungal disease.
That's a great product, too. So how often does that need to be applied?
Really, depending upon conditions, you want to apply when you see an active infestation. Mm-hmm. It's a spray oil, so the product itself has to make contact with the pest to suffocate them and eradicate them. So as you see an active population, that's when you want to apply.
So we have Easter coming up, and so there's going to be a lot of family events going on and people being outdoors, especially with the great weather we have here in the spring in Florida. So what would you suggest for right before an event? Is there anything that they can spray or use around their house, their yard, to prevent any kind of insects?
Absolutely. So we make a mosquito and gnat barrier product, which is a permethrin-based spray. That is ideal for helping to control adult populations of mosquitoes, gnats, ticks, fleas, really any type of nuisance pest that you might want to eliminate in your backyard prior to enjoying it. That product is applied every 30 days, roughly, depending on conditions.
Oh, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great product. It will control everything from ants to mosquitoes, again, ticks, fleas, gnats, anything that might be a nuisance.
That's wonderful because when you're getting ready for an event, you're having to do all these things at the last minute. And so they could do this a couple of weeks ahead of time and it'll all be over with before the party starts. And there's no bad smells or anything like that, right?
That is correct. It's virtually odorless. You always want to use caution and apply according to label directions.
Mm-hmm.
But people often ask, you know, can we be back in the area where it's treated? Rule of thumb is always to apply a product and allow it to dry, and it's safe to be back in the area for yourself, your kids, your pets.
That's great. So right before you came on, before we had a commercial, because Summit Responsible Solutions is a wonderful sponsor. We so appreciate you advertising on our show. But they talked about Neem 85. Tell us about that.
Neem 85 is a new product for us. Neem oil is not new to the marketplace, but Neem is a cold press neem product that is new for us and for us as a product offering. It is a, if you think of it, it's sort of like an olive oil. The neem seeds are crushed and pressed to extract oil. And within that oil is a compound called azadirachtin, which, in addition to the oil being a suffocant that kills insects, that azadirachtin has some insecticidal properties to control insects as well. So it's a little bit better, I would say, than maybe a hydrophobic extract of neem oil that doesn't have that azadirachtin compound.
Mm-hmm.
And does a great job in terms of controlling a wide variety of insect pests, as well as some fungal disease. And then if you have nematodes or mites, it will control those as well.
That's wonderful. Now, it's also organic and can be used on edibles. What about citrus trees? Will it be good on citrus trees?
Yes, it can be used on just about any type of plant. So it's a wonderful product, a very all-purpose type of organic product, I would say.
Wonderful. So now, where can people go and find your products?
Our products are available in a wide range of stores, certainly in local lawn and garden centers and hardware stores. We sell to some mass merchants, as well as big box stores and online.
So that's great. And they can also go to your company. What is your website?
Our website is summitresponsiblesolutions.com.
Excellent. So now, what are you going to plant in your containers this year?
I actually have a couple of packets of seed that I'm going to try to start in the next couple of days here. I've got some zinnias.
Uh-huh.
And then some moss rose that I'd like to see if I can't have some success with this year. So going for color.
I think that will be beautiful. Zinnias and moss roses, you have lots of color. Zinnias were the first flower that I was taught to draw. So, Lizzie, I'll show you how to draw them when we get, we get through. So, Heather, thank you so much. I so appreciate you coming on. Summit Responsible Solutions, I can't say good enough things about them. It is a great environmental product.
We appreciate all the support. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Have a great spring, hon. You'll be on in a couple more weeks. We'll talk more about Summit Responsible Solutions products. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay.
She is so sweet.
Yep. And I absolutely love their products.
They're amazing.
I know that they are a sponsor of the show. However, they're not a sponsor of Lizzie.
Exactly. Yeah, well,
I'm okay with that. But my thing is I buy them and I feel comfortable putting them around the turkey area to help with the mosquitoes, and our property are 2.5 acres. So I love them. I recommend them to people who use them. And like I said, it has nothing to do with them being a sponsor. It has to do with I absolutely love the Summit Responsible Solutions. I feel comfortable with my dogs being outside.
And your grandchildren, your grandbrats.
Yep.
There he goes. I call them grandbrats too.
Thank you. As you should. As you should. And other people, they have grandkids. I don't. I have grandbrats.
We are going to be back with your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967. You can give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And you can also text your messages. We won't read them all, Eric. But
we'll laugh.
But we'll laugh. We will. But we'll read your gardening text messages. 23680. If you're in the gardening area, we'd love to hear from you. 1-888-455-2967. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Love to have your gardening questions. You can help somebody else by your question. You never know who needs to know it too as well. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 and we will get to your gardening messages. Let's go to Beth in Orlando. Good morning, Beth. How can we help you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I am concerned about my staghorn hanging in my west-facing tree. And I just want to know, after I uncovered it from the cold weather, I just wanted to know, can I feed it something? Does it need to be 12 shot as your...
Sure.
No. What does it need?
Okay, so you can fertilize it. So it's kind of difficult. If you wanted to use slow-release fertilizers, you can throw up or pour, you know, get on a ladder and just kind of pour some slow-release fertilizer, like Osmocote into it, anything that has nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. But then you can also put a liquid product and spray a liquid product on it. You fish oil you can put in, fish fertilizer or liquid fertilizer. You can just spray it with liquid fertilizer, and that will help it too as well.
Okay, and I can just find this at a garden shop anywhere?
Sure, the fish oil you can find anywhere, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I hope it helps, yeah.
It will. They'll recover. It'll take about 6 months, but it'll recover.
Okay, well, I thank you for your information. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Beth. Thank you so much.
She was a perfect example of... you missed a little bit of the conversation. You have a question, and she added to the question. So, you know, I always throw out there is no dumb question, because yeah. Lord gave my parents and my siblings grace and my coworkers grace. So
yep.
There's no dumb question. There's no repeating yourself. Just say, hey, call and ask, because you never know when somebody missed something. So thank you, Beth.
Exactly. And, you know, fish fertilizer is kind of expensive, and you have to use a lot of it. I would just dilute it. And use half of the recommendation and then just water it in. And watering is going to be a good issue. We can go up to 2 times a week watering. You don't need to, though. If your landscape's getting by on once a week watering, save the water, and your landscape will be much better off with the less you water it. So you don't necessarily need to do that. Also, too, right now, you know, it's the weather, warm weather's here. Let's go ahead and get rid of all of the damage that we're seeing out in the yards. I'm driving through communities, and I'm still seeing shrubs and palm trees that have still got all their brown fronds on them. And so you want to make sure we're taking care of those. So cutting your shrub by 1/3 is not going to stress the plant out too much. And then before you prune, water your landscape well, and then water it afterwards, okay? And you can hand water it, you know, both times, and so you don't have to face the restrictions. Also, too, this is the time of the year to complete pruning of your bush-type roses and prune your climbers when the spring blooms fade. You don't cut your climbers until after they have bloomed, so be careful of that. Also, too, the cool season is over. No pre-emergence. Not necessary to put it down. Let's go to Rick and Vieira East. Good morning, Rick. How can I help you?
Hello there.
Hi.
I have a question on my orchids.
Okay.
Do they need, like, a chill time? They seem to bloom better after the hot weather when it goes down than opposite when it's spring. So, I mean, do they need something like a chill time?
So I will tell you, just naturally... orchids will bloom when there's a 20-degree temperature change. So in the springtime, when it warms up to 20 degrees more, they're going to start putting out blooms. And then in the fall, when the temperature drops about 20 degrees, November, December, they will start to put out blooms. So if your variety, your species is one that blooms twice a year, you can do it with the temperature changes.
Okay, I just wondering if that was something, because I'm looking around, and I'm like, okay, the Epcot Flower and Garden, they have thousands of orchids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I wonder if the winter temperatures that we had screwed them up, or did it make them all bloom more?
It makes them bloom more when you get those, when the temperature starts warming up. So they time the International Flower Festival just at a great time when it's just prime for orchids blooming.
All right, so I'll have to make sure I leave them out when it gets chilly and bring them in when it gets real cold.
Well, we're talking about 20 degrees. I wouldn't put them out when when it goes below 50, okay? But when it goes from 50, 60 degrees up into 70, 80, then that's the 20 degrees. And then when they're 80s and 90s and it dips down into the 60s, that would be the other 20-degree temperature change.
Right.
Okay? Wonderful question. And don't forget to fertilize, too. Fertilizer is very important.
When do I fertilize? When they start to bloom or
before? So I would, just as the temperature starts warming up, so I would start to fertilize them in February, late February, first part of March.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you so much, Rick. Appreciate it. And so we have a lot of great questions here. So let's see. Good morning, girls. I have a 12-foot clusia hedge. This is Claire and Vieira, and I love the name Claire. Mm-hmm. That's so pretty.
Yes.
And it says, I have a 12-foot clusia hedge that is total brown. How far down should I trim it? So clusias have been very popular here in Central Florida for the last 3 or 4 years, and there are lots of them around, but they are very, very strictly zone 11, 10 and 11. And they cannot take freeze of any kind, temperatures below 50 degrees. And so we saw a lot of damage on clusias. You can cut it down, cut all the dead off. Okay, so let's see, Claire. I would say just cut off the brown and then scrape the cambium, scrape the stems, and see where the green starts. And then you can cut them down that. So if it's dead, it's dead. So you can cut those off. I would say probably if it's 12 foot tall, I would cut it down to 6 foot tall and go from there. That's just kind of an estimate, but you may come down a little bit further if they've been damaged even more. Okay, not a problem. Don't worry about it. They will recover. Lauren from Bartow, she said, thank you for your terrific program. Thank you. She says she has a mature Brogdon avocado that seems to have been killed by the recent frost. All the leaves are brown. And the sky is gray, right? So, Lauren from Bartow, hang on. I've got a hard break here. And then we will get to more text messages. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you'd like to give us a gardening call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So we had Laura from Bartow, and she has a Brogdon avocado that seems to be killed by the recent frost. And Brogdons are really cold hardy, so that's how strong the winter freeze was, that it's even beyond what our normal cold-tolerant plants can handle. All the leaves are brown, twigs are brittle and easily break off. She said, I'm so sad to lose this fruit tree and fruit. Is there any hope that it'll come back? If so, what should I do now? Trim it back, fertilize, anything? Yes. So you want to, I think it'll be just fine. I think if it's a mature avocado, it will recover. Okay, so go ahead and cut back all the dead on it and then go ahead and fertilize it. And depending on the size of maturity, if it's, you don't say how tall it is, but if it's about 15 to 20 foot tall, you're going to have to put a couple of pounds down of fertilizer. Read the label, but make sure you're putting enough fertilizer down. Just putting a couple of cups on a mature avocado tree is not going to help it. So read the label, find out the exact amount, how many pounds you need to use on your mature trees, and then that'll be fine. You may not get fruit this year, but you should get fruit next year. Not a problem. So, Lauren, let us know how your avocado tree does. And then, so what should you be doing? Right now, early March is tomato right now, pepper, and eggplant planting time. You can still plant seeds, or you can put transplants in the ground. That'll be fine. Also, too, you want to make sure, you know, people are still cutting their crepe myrtles and they're hacking them back. I've seen some really good pollarding going on where they're cutting them back properly. Anything that's smaller than your pinky, the width of your pinky, that is going wonky, it's going in a wrong direction, or it's getting too close to another large stem, go ahead and cut those back. You can do that any time of the year. But right now, cutting off the seed pods and then bringing it down to a height, you can take a couple of, you know, 1 to 2 feet off of it if it's a really tall one. And then any suckers that are coming up out of the ground. When we hack back the crepe myrtle, when we cut it off so severely, that's going to cause it to sucker more, and we don't want to do that. So cut off any stems coming up that are really small, smaller than your pinky. Leave 3 to 5 large stems, you know, trunks coming up out of your crepe myrtle. Crepe myrtles aren't a tree with a single trunk. They're a shrub. And so when you stress them out by hacking them back severely, cutting them straight across, that's going to stress it out and it's going to sucker more. Let's go to Karen in Vieira East. How can I help you, hon?
Yeah, I have a star fruit that we've had for about, probably 5 years. Got it as a baby. Didn't have much on it. This year had like 40 fruit just before the freeze. Aww. I took it all the fruit off.
Oh, good.
And it's only about 5 feet tall.
Okay.
But, and so because it's my prized little baby, I covered it. And I wrapped the root or the bottom of the stem,
mm-hmm.
and it has a few dead leaves left on it, but the rest have blown off. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it looks dead. Do you think I've lost it? Or
again, I don't know. I'd like to see a picture of it, but go ahead and scrape it. Take a fingernail file, one of the knives, the small knives, and or your fingernail, and just kind of scrape the stem, the trunk of the tree, and see if you see any green. If you see green, it's still alive. It just may take a while to recover. So I would start at the top of that 5 foot and work your way down, see where the green starts, and you can go from there. It should recover.
Okay, and how about my Kerry mango? It's huge. I've had it for 20 years. But
mangoes got whacked, didn't they? Oh, my goodness. The mangoes look so bad. I think, you know, if they're mature, if it's a large one, it'll recover, too, as well. You just may not have any fruit this year.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Like after the hail.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, yeah. So let me know how it does, though.
Okay.
All right.
I shouldn't prune the mango, right?
I would wait and see a couple more weeks to see if these leaves drop. But if not, I would go ahead and start cutting it back. I think they're going to start, as the warmer temperatures are here, they're going to have to start dropping their leaves. I'm praying
right.
They drop. But if not, go ahead and cut it back and see what happens.
Okay, and one last thing.
Sure.
Ixoras,
they got whacked too, didn't they? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Go ahead and cut the dead off. Cut the dead off. Is it a dwarf Ixora or is it a regular Ixora?
It's a regular.
Yeah, go ahead and cut all the dead off, and it should recover.
Okay, and I lost like half. It looks like I lost like half of my hibiscus.
Yeah. What is it? A standard? Is it?
It's a variegated.
It's a variegated one. Yeah. Go ahead and again, just cut all the dead off. The dead is never going to recover. So everybody with dead shrubs, go ahead and cut them all off, and then look at it. And in August, we can cut them back again if we need to. But cut just all the dead off. Cut everything that's dead.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm on it.
There you go. Thank you so much, Karen.
All right. My husband's on it.
There you go. Good for you. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's go to Rob in Christmas. Good morning, Rob. How can I help you?
Good morning. I've got a tomato plant that I've babied through. This is his second year, and I've noticed a bunch of webs on it, and I've tried spraying it with a fungicide, but it seems to be getting worse.
Right.
And I don't know what to do to save the poor things.
So a fungicide is for disease control. It does not affect insects. Okay, so what you need to do is put a pesticide on it. You can use the neem oil 85 that we were just talking about and spray that on it. Follow the instructions, Okay, and or you can use any pesticide for edible vegetables and plants.
All right, awesome. I've got neem oil. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you. All right, yeah, good question. So it's important to identify what you have first and know that fungus or fungicides and copper treatments and things are just going to be for diseases. They're not going to affect the insects. And that's what's so good about the chemicals on the shelf. Just because it's a chemical doesn't mean it's bad. That they've gone through strict testing. They know exactly what it will do in the environment. And that's why the label is so important. Follow the label. We're taking a lot of these chemicals off the market, not because they are bad, but because we can't control how people use them. And when the label says only use once a year or only use twice a year, people are putting it down every month. And it's showing up in the water supply, you know, and it's doing damage to our plants. And so you want to follow the label instructions. Even they're safe when used according to the label. And that's very important because you want to be safe.
Yes.
1-888. Oh, I want to say, too, we're coming up to the end of the program. If you want to get the newsletter, please go to my website, she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com, or just look up She Consulting Teresa Watkins newsletter. It will come up, and it's free, and you can go ahead and get on it, and you don't need to miss anything there. And then also to Facebook. Lizzie, we definitely want them to go through. If 20 people today would go on our Facebook page and like it,
yes,
that would be so appreciated and grateful. And then share with your friends and neighbors, all these new Floridians moving down. Let them know, you know, where they can get correct and accurate gardening information.
There you go.
That's important. And we'd like to thank Heather Stickney for coming on today. And she is fabulous. Summit Responsible Solutions. Go there, that new Neem 85. I'm very excited about that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be recommending that everywhere. Also, too, this is a time of the year before the hurricane season gets started, before you leave to go back up north, have your trees checked.
Yes.
And, you know, this is a good time when a lot of the leaves are down and you can look at the whole shape of the tree and see where it can be trimmed back and properly. So word of mouth is a great company, tree company. And we do appreciate them, too,
yes,
as
and,
well.
And you have to think about how I mean, we had a lot of winter damage, a lot of freeze damage. So definitely do not wait till the last second, which means you need to call and go ahead and get your appointments now to have your trees checked.
Exactly. Because when we start to have storms, and last year we didn't have any, God bless, you know, but so what did we have? We had the major freeze of the century,
yeah, right.
You know, so we didn't escape the weather trauma. And so thank you very much to all of our text messengers. We just are so appreciative of everyone who listens to the show. Welcome to our listeners from Texas. We have lots of Texas, Tennessee, Georgia. Big shout out to Dr. Gary Bachman and Katie. It's good to see them. And wherever you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, Singapore, China, we have a lot of people in China.
Australia.
And we love hearing from you. And if we can answer your gardening questions, just let me know. I will do my best.
Yes, definitely.
And I appreciate it. So big thank you. Check out the Florida Wildflower Festival, which is coming up, and Peterson's Nursery. My talk next week, Color My World at 11:30 in Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland. Check out Quality Green Specialist, too, the Wildflower Festival. It'll be great. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you have a question for Teresa, you can text during the week. You can text in the middle of the night to 23680. It will not bother us. We'll catch it whenever we come back in the studio. We'll send it to Teresa, and then we'll answer it the next Saturday.